Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee Riverkeeper describes itself as a science-based advocacy organization working for swimmable, fishable rivers. The Milwaukee River Basin, which includes the Kinnickinnick, Menominee, and Milwaukee Rivers and their tributaries, has some work to do before reaching that swimmable, fishable goal.
For the past decade, Riverkeeper has been monitoring spots in six counties throughout the basin. The group uses that data to produce a report card on area river health. The most recent data, collected in 2015, earned the basin a C-, but grades within the region vary.
Lake Effect's Susan Bentz traveled upstream with Milwaukee Riverkeepers Cheryl Nen and Zach Driscoll. To better understand the report card, they started in the small Sheboygan County community of Batavia on a creek that bears the same name. Zach Driscoll carried a water monitoring kit and a long plastic tube down to the water's edge.
This is a pole sampler. It's just basically a PVC pipe that we made that you can attach bottles to using this large rubber band. So it's kind of nice so you don't have to get in the water, especially when it's 30 degrees outside.
That looks maybe down there better.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to avoid collecting any of that sediment. Typically you want to go in that more flowing area rather than these stagnant sides. So I can walk around and grab a sample. Mm-hmm. So for pH, which is this meter right here, we can just take it directly out of this bottle. Turn the sensor on. This one generally takes a little bit of time to equilibrate, so I'll give it a nice stir and kind of just leave it in there for now. The other measurement that we can take directly out of the bottle is conductivity. This basically gives us an idea of salt concentrations. It's kind of something that we measure a lot during the winter. We actually have a road salt monitoring program, obviously because road salt increases the salt concentrations, which increases conductivity. Typically, we see higher salt concentrations in more urban areas. At one of our more urban streams, this is around 500 microsiemens per centimeter right now. It's still going up, but we had something 20 times higher than this. So just insanely high, off the charts. That's really bad for fish and wildlife because they're not adapted, the freshwater fish and freshwater invertebrates, and they're not adapted to living in those type of environments.
So tell us where the creek falls in the basin.
Within the basin? Well, we're in the northern half of the basin right now. We're kind of getting close to the boundary.
There's seven different counties in the Milwaukee River Basin, and the northernmost counties are Sheboygan, Dodge, and Fond du Lac County. And so now we're very close to the headwaters of the Milwaukee River in Sheboygan County itself, but not the city of Sheboygan is outside of the basin. So the basin, I think, probably comes up and covers about 50% of Sheboygan County. And we're kind of close to the top part of that. But so, I mean, we would consider this a headwater stream in that it's very close to the headwaters of the Milwaukee River system. A lot of them are very small creeks, and they, you know, like this time of year, we have excellent flow right now because we've had so much rain and runoff the last few days and weeks, really. So the water level is looking good, and, you know, the flows are healthy. But these creeks tend to be very impacted by, by climate. We often see, you know, a lot of good water in the spring and a lot of good water in the fall. And then in the summer, we get kind of drought periods where we don't get a lot of rain, and the creeks can get very low and almost stagnant. And so I think, you know, we think that is probably what's happening with the oxygen, that, you know, maybe in the summer months, the creeks are getting really, you know, really low flow, and just there's less water running through them. So the pollution also can be more concentrated. And also in a creek like this one, Batavia, it really is draining, you know, a lot of agricultural land use. And so depending on what the farmers are doing on the fields and the lands, and not just farmers, you know, there's also some small towns up here and people living. But, you know, a lot of times the quality of the water is reflective of what's going on around the creek, you know, on the land. And, you know, certainly a lot of these creeks seem to be having a lot of problems in the summer months when we're more active and there's more active farming going on.
So I want to take one more measurement while we're here, and it's of that parameter we're talking about, dissolved oxygen. Now, we wouldn't necessarily expect this to be low during the time, kind of what Cheryl was saying, during the summer months we expect to see it a lot lower. So we actually want to do this in stream, because if we were to use the pole sampler, you can actually introduce oxygen to the sample through the atmosphere. So luckily this thing has a nice long cord and I can just chuck it right in there.
So you just fling it out?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Typically, we'll actually get, during the warmer months, we'll typically get in the stream with our waders on and everything like that, but it's January.
Yes. This time of year we try to avoid that.
Absolutely.
Again. You know, and this time of year too, I mean, we don't have people out. We normally have people out monthly from May through October, November. This time of year, we're largely going out and targeting pollutants of concern, which is chloride and conductivity, which is kind of measuring that impact from road salt runoff.
So really, how we calculate our grades is that we take all this water quality data and then we compare it to state and federal water quality standards. So if a single data point for a parameter is meeting that state or federal water quality standard, it gets a passing grade. If it doesn't, it gets a failing grade. So we calculate that all up and we get these large basin-wide grades or watershed-wide grades. I also individually did this for this stream station as well as a few other stream stations. And the overall water quality for 2014 and 2015 was pretty consistent. Almost no water quality data met the standard for dissolved oxygen or phosphorus, are two really concerning parameters for this station.
Yeah, I mean, technically it'd be like maybe a D minus, but it's still, bad. Mm-hmm. This creek in particular has seen a declining trend in water quality over the last few years, which is concerning to us. We're hoping to fundraise to have more continuous equipment put in here so we can get a better sense of what's going on during the summer months. You know, some more real-time oxygen monitoring capability as well so that we can better assess what's going on with the creek during those summer months when we're seeing problems. But, you know, often, you know, it seems like overall the basin has been, you know, pretty much at that C kind of average grade for several years. But there are interesting trends happening in different parts of the watershed. And most of the trends that we're seeing kind of in the, you know, our headwater streams in Sheboygan County, Fond du Lac County are not good trends right now.
So next we're going to push off to...
Nichols Creek. It's about 10 minutes north of here. And even though it's super close, the water quality is couldn't be more different. It's one of our... best stations. I think I got a 100% in 2015 and 14. Yeah, County Road W, so it should be pretty quick here.
Leave this in the car?
Sure.
This is all part of the state wildlife area.
So this would have been farmed years ago?
Yeah, I think it was, and I think it's part of that historic Milwaukee River. It was a farming heritage and wildlife area, so it was essentially a part of the watershed that for years the DNR prioritized for land acquisition to preserve for conservation, because there's a lot of high quality streams and fish in a lot of these streams, and then they also were just protecting, you know, natural areas and open spaces for conservation and also just to kind of preserve the scenic farmlands and character of this part of the state. And so I think it was really effective, and unlike the creek that we just were at, the land use around this creek is a lot of it's in preservation and conservation. It's owned by the state of Wisconsin and in some cases still owned by private landowners, but with conservation easements on their property to maintain, you know, most importantly, the land next to the creek's in a kind of a natural condition, because that really helps preserve the creek and kind of filter pollutants before they have a chance to get into the water. But yeah, this creek basically gets 100% compliance on every time we come and monitor it.
Wow.
So it's an A plus versus a D minus.
This is a beautiful spot.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's a very nice location. You can kind of see it as a really rocky bottom and everything like that. So water flows over those rocks and kind of replenishes itself.
Big part of Zach's work right now is that we've been monitoring for 10 years. So we started the program in 2006. And so 2016 was the end of our 10th year. And so we have 10 years of data now, and so we're really looking at, you know, going forward, is there something that we're not monitoring that we really need to start? Are there some things that we're monitoring that maybe aren't giving us as much information as we hoped? pH is maybe in that category, so are there some things that maybe we should back off of monitoring? We also have emerging contaminant concerns, and then there's emerging pollutants of concern. You know, we have these new pollution diets that have come out for phosphorus and total suspended solids and bacteria. And so, you know, certainly at a minimum, we really want to be doing a better job of monitoring those parameters going forward, so we can kind of identify areas where the rivers are having problems and also hopefully target policy measures, target management measures on the land to address those pollutants. And ultimately, you know, using the data as well to kind of hopefully show our successes and show that, you know, the work that we're doing is having a positive impact. And so we need to kind of make sure that we have a good baseline there of data so that as we start doing work over the next few decades, we have data that's going to show us whether all the work that's happening is having an impact.
So our final stop is
Pigeon Creek, which is kind of in Mequon, just a little further west, probably 10 minutes west of the highway.
Yeah, I'll take the last water sample of the day here.
Hopefully you won't fall in. We've been monitoring it for quite a long time, and I think in general it's been pretty high water quality. I think especially for a suburban stream, as you get further upstream in this little creek, the water quality improves more and more. We're finding that it generally stays cold most of the year. We found temperatures throughout most of this creek are pretty close to like what would be required to list it as a cold water stream. It's listed right now as a warm water stream that it can only support kind of a warm water fish community. We actually think it's cold enough throughout most of the year. You know, maybe one day we could even reintroduce trout to the stream, which is pretty exciting. If we could get that designation at some point, it would be the southernmost trout stream, I think, in the state of Wisconsin. You know, it just goes to show that I think even in a suburban area, you can still have a really high quality watershed if you've been careful to protect a lot of the areas that are draining into the water. But it's also a creek that we keep an eye on because this area, there's a lot of development. There's a lot of conversion of farmland to subdivisions and homes. As development increases, there's certainly a likelihood that there's more pollution running into the waters. I think one of the good things about citizen monitoring is that they keep an eye on things. And even on this creek, I've had experiences where the water quality has gotten really poor and you start driving around and you see they're redoing the road or there's something else going on upstream. We have great volunteers that do that every day. They find weird things in the water quality, they find low oxygen levels, they find different colors in the river sometimes, sedimentation. That often, you know, gives us information that we need to try to identify problems and then work with DNR and MMSD and others generally to find solutions to those problems. Having somebody who has the knowledge of a creek, what it looks like, what it smells like, you know, what the flow should be like, they become kind of the experts on the stream, and that's kind of the way we find out about a lot of problems.
And we've had volunteers that have been returning to the same stations for up to 10 years, so people have been involved with the program for that long.
Pretty
They're dedicated, yeah.
Cheryl Nen is riverkeeper for the group called Milwaukee Riverkeeper. Zach Driscoll is its water quality specialist.
You'll find a link to the 2015 Milwaukee River Basin report card and photos of the stops Susan Bentz made with them upstream at WUWM.com.